So today we want to talk about the subject of time, T-I-M-E, time. And really, if you want a title for this message, it is Wisdom to Number Our Days and Use Our Days Correctly. That's long, but you know. Wisdom to use the time that we have here to the best advantage and wisely. When our time runs out, and it will for each of us, what is it that will be written on your tombstone? What is it that will be written there? What is it that will be written about each of us? And what do we want written would be the other question. And how will each of us, how will you, how will I be remembered by our family and by our friends? We think about that, don't we? We think about the influence that we have. Time is involved with that because we're limited on the number of days that we have here on this earth. Maybe 26,000 days if you live 70 years, and maybe a little bit more if you live to be longer than that. So how do we use our time? I thought this would be kind of an interesting way to introduce this subject. So talking about what's written on tombstones, I wanted to read a few epitaphs that are written on some tombstones. I don't think I'd want them on mine necessarily, but I think it will maybe liven up things. It says, "Here lies the body of Johnny Blake. Stepped on the gas instead of the brake." Or here is another one. "Once I wasn't, then I was, now I ain't again." Or maybe this one. "My doctor finally did something to stop the pain." Or another one might be, "I told you I was sick." Or you might like this one. "The children of Israel wanted bread, and the Lord sent them manna. Old clerk Wallace wanted a wife, and the devil sent him Hannah." Oh. And then I'll read this one. This will be the last one. "Here lies an atheist, all dressed up, and no place to go." I hope we have something more significant written on our tombstones. And, you know, there's something really more important than what's written on our tombstone. There's something more important about our lives than what we will be remembered with by our friends and our family. You know what that is? How God will remember us. What God would have to say about us and what God would think about us and what He would maybe write about us. And what, frankly, when we think about this, what will really be important for us, talking about our time and how we've used our time, what will really be important for us is how and what is written in the book of life about each of us. What's written in the book of life about you and what's written in the book of life about me. Such things like the depth of our faith, our love for God, the quality of our character, the integrity that we've developed in our lifetime. Those will be important things, won't they? They sure will. And other things that will be important is what we have as individuals, what of the things of God that we've passed on to others. That will be important. That we will be remembered as men and women full of godly kindness and influence. The good influence. Godly influence. And that we have made a positive difference in the lives of those around us. Here, those here, our family members, and then those we come in contact with in our communities. And what's really important is that we will have left a legacy in our lifetimes that God would accept. So let's consider this subject this morning and talk about it a little bit. Look what the Bible has to say about this valuable resource called time. And that we remember in this, as we're studying this, that we must use our time here wisely. We can do that, or we will not do that. Time is an interesting concept. Think about time. Because before God created the heavens and the earth, there was not such a thing as called time. God made time. God's eternal, and He is therefore exist outside of time limits, time frames. We don't comprehend eternity, do we? It's forever. But we are finite. We have time. We are set in time. He created time, it says in Genesis 1:14. You know, the days and the seasons, and the word seasons there means appointed times. God has framed us with time, and we only have a certain amount of time that we will be here on this earth. And what's fascinating about time is this, that each person on the planet, everybody, is given the same amount of time every day, right? 24 hours. We're all given the same amount of time. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if you're young or old, or if you're a billionaire or a beggar. We all have the same amount of time. And what we do with our time, though, now this is interesting, is amazingly different. We all use our time differently, don't we? Nobody does everything the same way. We use our time in different ways. And with that, there's some good news and some bad news that I'd like to share with you. The bad news is, I think you'll agree with me, time flies. Time flies. I at 65 still think I'm 20. Time flies. And the good news is that we are the pilots of our time. We're the masters of our time. And we can use time for good, or we can master it, we can use it for beneficially, but we're in charge of it. Ben Franklin had a quote, and this is, I like this. He says that lost time is never found again. The 2 minutes ago that since I began, or five, it's gone. It's passed. It's never going to be repeated. It's true. It's the way it is. We never get time back. We shouldn't regret that. It's just a fact of life. And that we learn to use our time here wisely. Because once it's gone, we never get it back. So here's some interesting statistics. You'll probably say, well, how do they know? And the answer is, I don't know. I'm just reading stats, okay? So how they came up with these numbers, I can't tell you, but this is probably a study that went on that gives some general ideas about how people in their lifetime, how much time they spend doing different things. So the average American spends 9,100 hours commuting to and from work in their lifetime. Carl Wilson, probably more. He has a long way to go. And some have a long way to go to work. But 9,100 hours. This is a staggering one here, and this is a low figure, but the average American spends 9 years watching TV in their lifetime. That would basically equivalent of 13% of their life. Wow. Staggering. 91 point hours a year talking on cell phones. I think that's low. Americans spend more time watching TV, listening to the radio, surfing the internet, like we do, and reading newspapers than anything else except breathing. And in a survey, and the last one, and I like this one, says the average American spends 336 hours in a lifetime kissing. Maybe we should have a goal to increase that a bit, but 336 hours. In a survey conducted by U.S. News and World Report of 6,000 people, they found that the average American during his lifetime will spend 6 months sitting at a stoplight. Probably right. I felt I spent 6 months coming to church here today. I'm in a hurry and I got every red light in town. 8 months opening junk mail. 1 year looking for misplaced objects like glasses. Yep, I understand that. 2 years unsuccessfully returning phone calls, and 4 years doing housework. That probably doesn't rate too much to guys, but maybe to the gals. 5 years waiting in line, and 6 years eating. A lot of time spent for a lot of things, right? In our lifetime. Some of it we can control and some of it we can't. It's the way it is in life, a lot of this. But thinking about how we spend our time from a spiritual perspective, it makes me realize and wonder how much time we waste when we're looking at our spiritual lives and the things that we do spiritually. But even more than that, it makes me realize how much maybe of our time might be misused. Misused if we're not careful. Because we need, you know, if we're not using our time as God would intend and as He would want us to. But it also makes me realize this, maybe most of all, how precious every moment is. How important it is, every moment of our lives. And I believe it's important that we make every moment count in our life, talking spiritually, physically as well, but spiritually most of all, and that we make them count for the right things. For the right things. Turn with me over here to Proverbs chapter 90. Proverbs chapter 90, we'll read a verse. God has a lot to say about time in the Scriptures. Proverbs 90. No, Psalms 90. There is no Proverbs 90. Psalms 90. I want to read verses 10, 11, and 12 of Psalms 90. It says, and we know this, we all have kind of quote this, I think, a lot of times. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength and labor in sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So we got 70 or 80 years. It's what God gives us. It's the way we're made. And we don't stay young, and we don't stay 20. Who knows the power of your anger, and even according to your fear, so is your wrath. And you know, there's things about God that we don't comprehend. Then verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That is what I hope to encourage us to do today, that we use our lives, that we teach ourselves to use our days and our time here very wisely and apply our hearts to wisdom, that we gain a heart of wisdom, because we have really such a short time. 70 years, 80 years is not a lot. So I want to look at this precious resource called time today, not from the 24-hour time management, you know, for work and those kind of things being effective in your everyday. I want us to look at it from the perspective of the 70 or 80 years that God has allocated to us to see what the Bible says about gaining that heart of wisdom and that we need so desperately in our lives. That we look at it from that perspective to see what God says about this subject and about this. And you might ask at this point, well, what does that matter? Well, that would be a valid question, but why is this subject important? Well, I believe it's critically important when we recognize what it says over here in Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. And we'll read verses 10, 11, and 12 here on this as well. This is Romans 14. Verse 10. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you set your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the part of the verse that really jumps out at me. We're all going to stand before God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, that every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So, when we are standing before Him, what we have done, what we will have done in our lives will be really important. How we've used our time will be really critical, very important. And that we have developed godly character and developed a lifelong personal loving relationship with God will be really important when we're standing before Him. And so, you know, to gain a heart of wisdom is we see these things ahead of time so that when we stand before Him, we all want to stand before Him happy and joyful because we have done those things and spent the time that we needed to honor Him and love Him and follow Him, and so that we have, you know, a reward with Him. And that we will have spent the time doing the things that please Him, that we spent time to set ourselves in good stead with God. Time is important. Time is important. We're commanded over here in Ephesians chapter 5 to redeem the time. Turn with me there, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Why? Because we recognize we will stand before God. And we want to stand before Him happy and joyous, without any regrets, knowing that we will have lived our life, spent our time doing all of those things that are pleasing to Him. Verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Interesting, the word there, redeeming, means to rescue from loss. You realize we have somebody that also wants our time. Not God, that isn't God. We have an enemy that wants us to spend all of our time incorrectly. All of our time on the things that are important to Him. But we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. It's an evil time, I know that we live in. But we can be joyful and happy and, in the things of God and thrilled. You know, aren't we thrilled with the calling we have and thrilled with the future that we have and thrilled with all of the blessings that God gives us for following Him and obeying Him? Absolutely. But we're told to redeem the time, rescue it from loss, to buy up the opportunity. Use every minute. Use the time that we've got here for the important things. Now, I'm not saying we can't have fun. I'm leaving next week on a trip. I'm going to have fun. But what if we spent our whole life just having fun? Will we have used our life and the time that we have here in the right way? Because there are certain things that we have to spend time with when it comes to the things of God. We need to know what the book says. We need to know what the fruits of the Holy Spirit are. We need to have applied the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We need to be able to say that we follow the instruction of John that says, that we're to be, love one another. I mean, there's important things for us to develop and do in our lives. So he says here, though, that we redeem the time because the days are evil. Honestly, some of us here, I'm getting there, don't have a whole lot of time left, to redeem. But others are much younger and have a lot of time left. But whatever time that we have left, redeem the time. Use it wisely. And develop a loving relationship with God. I've got a couple of things that really stand out to me. God, He sits on the circle of the heavens, and He views each of us. He has reviewed every generation that has ever been around. God sees everything. He sees all of that. And there's one thing He has done for us, for everybody that has ever lived. He's all given us an equal amount of time each day to use the things of God wisely. And we are aware of time and chance, and we know some are cut short. We know the reality of that. And we know our frailties, and we know that we're weak, and we know that we're human. You could read Job, I'm not going to turn there, but Job 14 says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." We have difficulties in life. "He comes in like a flower and is cut down, and he flees as a shadow and continues not." We're here for a short time. That makes time important. Makes what we do here vital. Makes it so critical. Another one is Psalms 103, 14 through 16. Again, I won't turn there. He says, "He knows our frame." God knows us. He knows that we're like dust, that we fade, and that we're here and then we're gone. But He gives us each the equal amount of time to learn to love Him and to come to understand this. and to apply it and to be, you know, like He is. Or at least, certainly we'll not do that. We will not be perfected in that in the flesh. But He needs to know us. He needs to know me. He needs to know you. He needs to know what we will do. 1 Peter chapter 1. Again, this is just a scriptural warning. Maybe I shouldn't say warning. Maybe I should say wise advice from God. 1 Peter 1, we'll begin here in verse 15. We'll read through verse 17. It says, "But as He which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, 'Be you holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work," notice this now, "pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." God, yeah, He says, "Pass the time here in fear." Now, that would probably be an interesting study, what that word means, fear. I would say respect, knowing that our time is short, that it means respect to God because we know our time is short. Maybe fearful that we are not spending enough time. I mean, we need to have warning bells go off if we're going weeks, days without opening God's Word, without studying, without learning, without listening, without really delving into the Scriptures. If we think we know everything and we're content, then there's a Scripture over in Revelation that warns us about that, right? I want to read it because we cannot, please, let's not be this. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, that says, "I know your works," this is to the church of Laodicea, "I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold." We are kind of influenced that way, I believe, in society. Everything's kind of laid back, it's all right. He says, "I would that you were neither hot nor cold. I will spew," because you're that. Verse 15. "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot." One or the other. "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." Why? And I think we have to be careful of this principle and be, at least be aware and be warned to remember not to be this way. Just a cognizant thought that we have as we go through our day-to-day lives. "Because they say, I am rich and increased with goods," physical things, "and have need of nothing." That could be spiritual too. Do we think that we have need of nothing from a spiritual aspect? "And know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." I would hate to be told that from God. So that's all that needs to be said, about that we be warned. And that we pass our time here the days that we have here in fear and remembering those things and dedicating ourselves to the things of God. And specifically, I have two or three that come to mind. One is, to me, the most important. We will have wasted our lives if we have not spent time to develop an everlasting an eternal relationship and friendship with God. We have to ask ourselves, what is our relationship? I remember as a teenager, the beginning of that journey, developing that relationship, where you have, it's awkward to pray and awkward to talk to God and awkward to spend time. It's just, it's new. The relationship is new. The relationship that we have with God should not be new with us. It should be well established where we're talking to Him all the time. You know, I try to, I don't do this every morning, but I set this as often as I can over in Psalms 19:14 that says, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight today, that I begin that day with him. And I have heard, you know, we're supposed to spend an hour in prayer, hour on our knees, and how can you set time limits? That was something set by men. Aim, right? Those were things that we said that we created that were not there. Now, Scripture does say morning, noon, and night, but it doesn't say how long. You know, Psalm says that. David talked to God morning, noon, and night. But we all have to develop that relationship in our personal time with God. That's up to us. We have to do that. We have to spend that time. And I don't know how long it is. I can just tell you, for me, I'm in conversation with God a lot throughout the day. I know many of you are. We're talking to God. And we see things and we say, oh, God, that makes me sick. Or we do things and we say, Father, please forgive me. That was wrong what I said. That was wrong what I did. And so, can you imagine spending our whole life and not have developed a relationship with God? That would not be good. So, the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to view our time, our lives, as something very brief and quickly passing, so we don't have a moment to waste in the things that we do. We don't have a moment to waste in developing and continually developing our love for God and our conversation with God and our knowledge for God, then talking to God, what do you mean by what I just read, God? How does this apply to me? And those are the things that will really be important. If we plan on spending eternity with God, we don't want to be strangers. We want to be those who really love him and have a deep, devout, and loving relationship with Dad. That's what I call him. I call him Dad because he's my, you know, Abba, Father in heaven. I love talking to Dad about everything. And we live in the present, I know that. And that relationship that we have with him will not only be here with us now, but will be with us forever. I tell God this, so I'm confessing some things here. I talk to God a lot about, I want to meet him. I want to come before that throne, the throne. I want to see the throne, the sea of glass. I want to see the 24 elders, and I want to see where he sits with the innumerable company of angels. I want to see there. I want to be there. I want to be with him. And I need to know him, and I want to know him better. And that's on my mind a lot, especially as I get older. I want him to know that. I want him to know those things about me before I die, because I don't want to be a stranger to God. The other thing, another point, would be very negative to stand before God not having used my time here to seek the kingdom first. Right? I mean, isn't that what we're instructed? Let's read that. That's over here in Matthew 6:33. I know I don't use my time here completely wisely, not every moment, but there are times when I do, and there are times when we do, and when you do, that we use our time wisely. And let's make sure it's more and more that we do that. Matthew 6:33. Well, let's start here in verse 31 of Matthew 6. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the nations seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. At 65, I look out and I recognize that I have not wanted for those things all my life. God has provided. He does. He provides for us. Sometimes I've been lean. When I was a kid in the church back in Bakersfield, we were poor. just everybody was poor back in the 60s. Remember? There was no money. But you know what? We had a meal every day. Every time we would have people over on the Sabbath, we entertained and we had lots of fellowship. We got together for church and we didn't lack anything. It was all wonderful. And, you know, sometimes we worry, honestly. We spend our time worrying about all the other all those things more than we should. He says, verse 33, he says, but seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's the priority. That is part of the major, you know, one or two things, or maybe three things that should frame our life. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Do you think we can do that if we don't spend time? Nope. That requires time. That requires that we submit our will to His will, that we sometimes not do what we want to do, because actually what it really means is that if we're going to do it the way that we should, we be like Jesus who said, I came not to do my will, but your will, Father. So that was the way His life was. But, you know, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Notice, if we do that, notice what's next. All these things shall be added unto you. I believe that. God takes care of us. But we have to seek the kingdom. We have to love what He's doing. Some people spend their whole life climbing a ladder that when they get to the top, they discover it's leaning on the wrong wall. I don't want to climb a ladder and find it leaning on the wrong wall. I want it on the right wall. There's, you know, time for everything. God wants us to manage our time, and He wants us to manage it well. And He wants us to set our priorities. You know Him, love Him, and seek the kingdom. Those are, we've heard that all our lives, but I'm just reemphasizing those things because I believe those are critical in the time that we have in our lives. And, you know, we have, and the other thing is we have to be circumspect and aware of all things that are around us. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. You know, we read verse 16, which says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We read that, but notice this next verse, verse 17, it says, wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I hope we do that. I hope we ask God, what is your will? What is your will for me today? What is your will for my life? What is your will for our family? What is your will for me in the future in the kingdom of God? And we be careful because of the days, and because the days are evil, and we have to be careful, and we have to know how God wants us to respond and how we are to live, and we're not to be unwise about it. And you know, so when it comes to the time element, here's the deal. We have to make the choices. We have to make the choices. What are we going to spend our time on? Where are we going to seek God, know Him, have a loving relationship, seek the kingdom? That's up to us, isn't it? So, just a reminder that we have that before us. And how we do that, that's left up to us. But He does say, be wise. Be wise in the choices, because we live in a sinful world. And we live in a world that would take every minute of our time if we let it. I mean, I could spend every minute of the week out selling chicken manure, which is what I do. Can't do that. You know, we have to set priorities. We have to make choices. And time is limited. And it is, you know, finite for us. Now, in the resurrection, there is no end. It's forever. But we have to get there first, right? So how we use our time here is really important. It's interesting that there are commands given in the Bible for things for us to do that are given within the context of time. Look at one over here in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. By the way, I'm just hitting highlights. There are many, many more verses about time that I am not covering, but the concept I do believe that we'll get and we understand. In chapter 13 of Romans, beginning here in verse 11, it says, "And that knowing the time," knowing the time or the season, I know my season. I'm in the latter season of my life, you know. Knowing the time. We all have to look at that, the time. "That it is now high time again, to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed." You know, so I'm not saying we shouldn't have fun. We should. We should enjoy life. We should enjoy the beautiful planet that God has given us. We should enjoy the incredible beauty. We should recognize everything around us that it shouts the things of God. We should do that, and we should enjoy those things. But we also have to keep in mind that our salvation is nearer today than it was 30 years ago. And it's nearer today than it was yesterday for us. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envyings." Now, you know, to understand what all of those things are takes a little bit of time to study that out. But verse 14 says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." So, you know, he tells us, put aside dead works, deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime. Those are instructions. And that we're to clothe ourselves with Christ, not to gratify the flesh. And it's interesting. It's all given within the context of time. Time. We have time. We're limited to time. We live in a time frame. This is our time. This is my time, this is your time. So how are we using our time in our time? That's kind of the question here. And are we using it here wisely? Because what we do with our time here affects our eternity. If we don't spend the time in developing that relationship with God and seeking the kingdom and loving all of His instructions and filling ourselves with the knowledge, That's how God really wants us to spend our time. But, you know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy, and life is joyful. There are wonderful things in life. We read this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 12. Everybody know where Ecclesiastes is? It's after the book of Proverbs, before the Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I could end my sermon here, and I've got just a bit more, but Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And we don't want regrets. And we don't want shouted from the rooftops things about us that would make us embarrassed. Do we? So, you know, look, we all sin and we have transgressions. And when we do that, what are we supposed to do? We go to God and repent. We put those things behind us. And we don't dwell on them. We don't dwell on the past. We learn the lessons, and then we move forward. Because God forgets them. When we repent, He forgets them. He removes them as far as the east is from the west. So, That's it. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. So how do we make our time count? How do we do that? If you want some examples to look at from the Bible of those who use their time wisely, well, you can go to Hebrews 11. I've got some heroes over there. I've got some men and women over there I really want to emulate because they did right the things. They did things right. They were wise in what they did. And you know, you could talk about Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, Caleb, King David. So many examples of men that I admire for the way they spent their time and the relationship they had with God. I love that. And I just ask myself, God, what would you say about me? What would He say about me? I would want what God said about me to be good. Wouldn't you want God to say good things about you? I would like for God to say to me, when you're my friend. Remember He said that? I would like to be able to speak face to face. You know, Moses, Exodus 33:11, says that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. I would like that. I would like that. He said of Abraham, He says, Abraham, I know you. I know that you would not even spare your son for me. I know you. I know what you will do. I want God to say that about me. I know when what you will do. And all of us, I hope, would be able to say that too. Put your name there. I look at Queen Esther. She was a brave woman. She was a brave woman. She used her time to save her people. Pretty amazing. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and there's many, many others that we could look at. But what does He know and what does God say about you and what does He say about me? Can He trust us? What does He know of our character? Does He know that you're people of character? And what would He write about you? What would He write on your epitaph? What would it be? There's a saying that I want to quote here as I'm winding up. It says, this is it. It says, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. I repeat that. Only one life will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ, we could put God in there as well, will last. Time is a very precious gift that we've been given. He has blessed us with the time that we have here, and we can't waste the time that we have that He's given us. Let's make our time count. Not now, not just for now, but for all eternity. Make what we do now last and count for the future as well. Each of us here in this room has an appointment with destiny. And an appointment to meet God. Nothing will really matter at that moment when we stand before Him except that He accept us. And that He welcome us with open arms and puts His arms around us. Nothing else will matter. When He does, I'll tell you what, our hearts will leap with joy and relief will flood through us like you can't even imagine. Because then we'll know that we've pleased Him. And then we will know also that we have used our time here wisely. So what are you doing with the precious time that you've been given?